Call our meeting to order. Sherry Veltkamp will open us with prayer, and then we'll have the pledge, if everybody'd stand.
We just come before your throne of grace this morning, O Heavenly Father, and we just ask for your presence in this place. We ask for your peace. We ask for your discernment, and we ask for your truth. And we ask, O Heavenly Father, that you will be with each one of these leaders as they serve this county. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for every one of them. We thank you for their willingness to serve, and we thank you for what they're doing in this county. We pray for the people in this county that you will just help us to support them, to help them to discern what is good for us and what is not by your will. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for this gathering today. Thank you for the privilege of it and the freedom of America. Please be with our troops today as they're out there on the battlefield yet fighting for our freedom. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for all things good. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Sherry. Always a good prayer. All right, next on our agenda is meeting minutes. We've got August 16th and 18th.
Motion for approval.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Next, we got accounts payable. Any...
I'll make a motion for approval. I didn't see anything that was...
I really didn't see anything, so I'll second the motion.
I have one question. We've got reimbursement for Mincy Community Park. There was some, looked like painting and chain and some metal assembly and this and that. I don't remember that coming through, did it?
It hadn't. What they did, they turned that in, Chuck, after that's about 2 or 3 months behind, and somehow we have either misplaced it or something. So they came and give a call back to me, Angela and Brenda, and they hadn't received a check, so they was wondering what had took place. So they turned in a new bill, and we have already approved that. I didn't know that it needed to come through again, but for safety reasons, I think we are too. It is for monies that were appropriated for their playground equipment and for...
Quite a few months ago, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it's been several months ago, and they had... thought that there had been some problem, and so they resubmitted the bill. I think it's already been approved. I don't think that there's any problem, but they just want to do it on safety reasons, safety precautions.
So are you saying that the park board recommended
it? Yes, the park board recommended
it. And the county commission approved that recommendation
yes.
back some time ago?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's
I don't
the
remember
way that,
it.
That's the way that
okay.
I remember the conversation, and... it's not. It's on the playground equipment, and they've done 2 or 3 projects since then, but they never had received a check on this particular thing.
Okay. Any other questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Didn't see any journal entries or transfers, did we? All right. We got a bid open. Linda, come on up.
Good morning.
Good morning. Installation of energy efficient lighting.
Yes, sir. I have 6 proposals, and again, they're quite lengthy. Debbie Redford and I would like to get with the agencies that are participating in the installation, Mark Twain, Kirbyville, and the health departments, and interview as well the people that have responded. So then we will make a bid tab and come back before you again.
Okay.
First, I have K&R Electric. next is Hatfield Electric. Arrow Electric. GM Electric. G&A Electric. And the last one is Michelle Electric.
All right. Very good.
I've got a question.
Check post office.
I have. Yes, sir.
Questions?
I've got a question. These, and I know you haven't reviewed them yet, but because there are so many entities that have responded, are some of these, do you think some of these bids are going to be for not the total project, but for specific locations?
We requested, a lot of people are doing their labor in-kind or in-house.
Right.
So it was just the agencies who need the labor, you know, the lighting installed at their facility. So therefore, we will bring those agencies in and discuss it. Debbie Redford and I have talked, and we were hoping for a good response like this and then possibly be able to narrow it down to maybe three or four companies, bring them in and interview them, and then recommend the one to install.
Okay.
When do you expect them to come back with a tabulation?
She's in my office right now. We have a webinar that started at 9. So we will review them, and I will get with her and see when we can get a meeting set up.
Okay.
So no later than next week.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you very
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, Linda. All right, next on our agenda is public comment.
Ron Houseman.
Ron Houseman. Good morning.
Gentlemen, the Taney County Board for the Developmentally Disabled has obtained an allocation for the issuance of recovery zone bonds in the amount of $1.3 million. With the assistance of Stern Brothers St. Louis, Missouri, the board has been able to accept a proposal from Great Southern Bank to provide financing for a major project. Industrial Development Authority IDA Chairman Tim Connell stated, "This comes at a great time due to the fact that the construction project should be coming to completion within the next 30 days. Connell added that the Taney County Disabled will benefit dramatically since it allows the county board to leverage revenues by not having to provide all the cost of construction up front for the project. Renovation of the Tantone building is part of a 5-year master plan of expansion that has already led to the construction of Dorgan Weaver Apartments and the Developmental Disabilities Resource Center located on the same site. Max Lytle, Executive Director of Developmental Connection, stated, "The project includes a 10,000 square foot expansion plus total remodeling of the existing Tantone Industries building. The expanded facility will provide capacity for additional jobs for individuals with disabilities and their non-disabled supervisors in the growing paper and cardboard recycling services provided to county businesses. Within the past 2 months, Tantone Industries has received a USDA grant for a white paper, confidential documents shredder truck that will serve local businesses throughout the county. In addition, through a separate USDA grant, Tantone Industries has purchased equipment for commercial laundry services. John Cox, General Manager of Tantone Industries, points out that all of the growth in progress is geared towards support of our county's business community and creation of jobs for people with disabilities. It's a win-win for the community as a whole. The allocation for the issuance of the Recovery Zone Economic Development Bonds was made possible through the Taney County Industrial Development Authority, IDA, with the assistance of the Taney County Office of Economic Development, as well as you, the Taney County Commission. However, the allocation would not have been forthcoming were it not for the assistance of Missouri Senator Jack Goodman, who went the extra mile to secure the $1.3 million through the Missouri Department of Economic Development. We owe Senator Goodman a hearty round of thank yous for what he did, because when we hit a snafu, Goodman took care of it for us. Tim Connell has also stated, it is the intent of the Taney County Board for Developmentally Disabled to move quickly with the financing through the law firm of Yates, Mock, Boer, Elliff, and Fells in Springfield, Missouri, who are serving as bond counsel and possibly will close within the next 30 days. I need to announce that there is a scheduled walkthrough of the facility on site, which is going to be at 10 a.m. September 1st, 2010. Hopefully you all can be in attendance, and we'll send out invitations to the public as well as to the media and provide an opportunity for them to see what the expansion is doing, how it's going, and the remodeling that is in process. This was one of our original projects that we took in when I first came on board with Joan Chowning, that she worked with specifically, originally, with Tim Connell and with others involved trying to find the dollars that would be necessary to provide this expansion. So we're really excited about it.
Ron, I believe from what you said, I think that this commission probably would owe a thank you letter or a letter of support for his support of the project to Mr. Goodman.
I agree wholeheartedly, Commissioner. We reached a point where we were unable to close the deal, if you will, through DED, and he opened the doors for us in Jefferson City.
I would make a motion that we do so. Send a support letter.
Okay. Second?
Yes, second. We just don't have it posted.
I think we're all right on the thank you letter, aren't we,
yeah.
Bob?
You don't need a motion to send a thank you letter. Somebody can draft one and
draft
we can send it off.
We want to send one. Why don't you draft one?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I'll by Bob's comment, I'll remove my second. And
I'll remove the motion.
We'll do it.
Jack served Taney County very well with the rest of his district. Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Ron. Next.
Bob Shantz.
Bob.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Been here since 7:15. Thought there was going to be a transportation meeting, and they changed it. It was yesterday. So I'm tired. Okay. Read the weekend paper and a lot of things in it about the executive session, but that's going to be brought up later, so I'll bring that up later. Further in the paper is an item about commission approves zoning. And I know during the election I said a lot of things and I was accused of it's political. This is not political. Thank you, Mr. Strophus, Mr. Pennell, who voted, and you too, Danny, because after talking to you this morning, it needs some work done on it. So I do say it needs work done on it. It's not right near where I live. People have $200,000 and $300,000 houses, and 100 feet away they're putting in trailers, you know, $5,000 and $6,000 20-year-old trailers sitting up on blocks, which you've seen. I mean, they're 20 cinder blocks. I mean, it's dangerous. And then next to me they want to put 2,500 and 1,200 square foot homes for marriage counseling and a 150 foot seat church, and there's no fire hydrants around there, and we need zoning for that matter, because right near me, half a mile away, here's a house that burned down because pumper trucks ran out of water. No fire hydrants. So thank you for doing it. And Danny, get with them and work on the zoning, because we need it. I mean, you can't put 25 homes for marriage counseling over there with no hydrants on a narrow road, a one-way road. So let's work on that. The next thing I want to bring up real quickly is there's been a lot said about the airport and the TIF boards and this and that and the other. And I think somebody said they were against TIFs and didn't know what happened. And yet I've got minutes of the 20th day of December 2004 when Commissioner Swan moved to pass the resolution. Commissioner Pennell seconded the motion for discussion. And Pennell stated that the Branson Regional Airport had required that the commission form a TIF commission to the airport project. And then it goes on to say there was going to be members of the school board and this and that. And I don't know what happened to it, but I thank Mr. Pennell. As much as I said thanks for doing the planning and zoning thing, now I'm wondering, what is it with this thing? You're against TIFs, but it says you're all for it at one time. So let's straighten that out and just let's try to, let's all get along like Rodney, whatever his name was, said. Thank you.
Okay. Next.
Josh Smith. How are you?
Good.
I just want to kind of publicly thank Frank Preston for an issue. I think it was last week, wasn't it, Frank? On T Highway, the county road guys had went out and put some stop sign stripes down in the road, and I kind of had concern with a little bit of tightness of the budget and why before there hadn't been a stripe put there in 30 years, and now we have one. And one of the intersections is a dangerous intersection, and nobody's going to stop where the line is because you can't see to pull out on T Highway safely. And so I called Frank. Frank went out and looked at it. And upon meeting with him this morning in the hallway, I got the explanation that basically to save some money of not throwing the paint away, costing us $600, they went ahead and found a way to use it. So I want to thank Frank for that. I know that was your guys', not your direct idea, but one of the guys that worked with you. Frank did try to, he did go out there and look at it. So I just wanted to let you guys know of that.
Okay. Thank you, Josh. Next.
That's it.
All right. Let's move on to new and old business. Next item, questionable exemptions handed down by BOE. Is that you, James? Looks like you got all your data there.
Yeah, I feel like an attorney.
All right.
Should we all boo you now?
About an attorney joke?
I don't know good attorney jokes. I just like to listen to them. I'm coming before you here this morning, and basically on the airport issue, the article in Taney County Times left a very bad taste in my mouth of pointing toward, I think the final statement in that article is, the shortfall to Hollister schools, don't quote me, I'm just going to read the last line here, the shortfall due to the county's assessment process, referring to the shortfall to the schools. I believe that's an absolute false statement. That's why I'm carrying all these books. The assessor never, ever presumed that the airport would be exempt. There was no presumption whatsoever. I knew I'd covered Supreme Court cases on such items as the airport, and one a case was brought up in the statutes. I'll provide the Supreme Court decision on government-owned properties that basically jumps off into private sector businesses. There was a statute passed that was 172.273.3. This is where the Missouri curators had decided to take some government land and build a basic shopping center type situation on that. And they're going to have offices and all this stuff. The assessor out of St. Charles County, Eugene Zimmerman, knowing his role to put properties like this on the tax roll, went the full limit. All the lower courts said, yes, this was the way it is to be done under 172.73.3. It deems such property, university property, and exempts university property from taxation. So St. Charles County and its assessor sued to declare the state statute unconstitutional under Article 10, Section 6. The court found the statute constitutional and ordered removal of the leaseholds from the tax rolls. The Supreme Court reversed and remanded. Section 137.115.1 express language makes leaseholds subject to assessment. They said Section 172.273.3 is void because it exempts property in violation of Article 10, Section 6. The Constitution voids any law that exempts property not enumerated in Article 10. Leaseholds in state property are not enumerated in Article 10, Section 6. Property which in fact does not belong to the state cannot be made state property by legislative declaration. So just because there's a statute somewhere out there that might deem exemption to property, as you can see, the Supreme Court, and I'll pass these out, it seems that people, I don't believe I needed to be here this morning with all this. I believe that was a role of my office, but it keeps getting questioned in comments of unlawful doing by the assessor, and that was made in a statement to the Hollister School Board by Mr. Pennell, and different issues. So I believe as the assessor, when I say something, according to law, it shouldn't be printed or accusations made in the paper that I'd overstep my bounds without proof. I knew this existed. And what's real confusing, if you go check the assessor out, the last edition of the Missouri Revised Statutes, 2000, still has it in there for attorneys and school board people and everybody to go look at, that these properties are exempt from taxation. You open your statute books and it'll tell you, yeah, they're exempt. When we get our supplementaries along, it talks about the Supreme Court taking this away. But who gets their supplementaries or goes that far of checking? That's why I say I feel like an attorney having to carry all this up here this morning. So I don't understand. Like I say, there was never no direction other than the Board of Equalization saying they felt like this entity-owned property was exempt from taxation or to go to zero. Zero was the big number. When I believe the Supreme Court of the state of Missouri says, no way, guys, this belongs to the schools. I also have here the way to fix this. Now, I know the BOE put a value on of $2.5 million. And after the finding this case, I don't believe the other party has a prayer when we get to the State Tax Commission. They may win at the State Tax Commission, but the Supreme Court is real clear on what's to be done.
And in the paper, here's the statement. However, the airport under state law is exempt from property taxes because it's within the TDD, officials say. I don't know what officials say that. Supreme Court judges, I don't think they're officials. I think they're usually looked at as higher than that. And I just wonder who that might be in this newspaper article. So that's why I'm here this morning. I know many times it was said that the schools were left out of the loop. Well, guess what? I don't believe in loops in government. When you use the word loops in government, that's where you might get to a little dishonesty, a little under-the-table dealings. So this loop stuff that's printed here in the paper, I don't believe in anyhow. I do know that in many times of the past, Mr. Pennell stated to the Hollister School Board that Hollister School was never brought up as being receiving any taxation for that project. I was going to look here. On April 19, 2006, this is directly from a minutes, Branson Airport, the commission discussed whether or not having a public hearing in regards to the agreement with Branson Airport. The commission voiced concerns over the ownership of the road being built to the airport by Taney County. Presiding Commissioner Pennell asked them to review and make changes to the following. Ownership of the road to the airport. The 99-year lease with Tourism Development District. Can it be 40 years? How much land is to be given to the TDD? 450 versus 900. Find a way to maintain the tax base to the schools on the 500 acres and pay for it. Now, Mr. Pennell, you said in front of the Hollister School Board that Hollister Schools was never referred to as ever receiving any taxation dollars off of this project. And number five was the pay per performance all coming out of road and bridge. These are the five issues in 2006 that you referred to as being your deep concerns. And that was given, I'm assuming, in a public meeting for them to be here in the minutes. So that's the issues I had. I believe this county commission needs to look into the process for getting the airport on at true value in money. I do not believe it will go back to the $15 million. But I believe this is a step that needs to be looked at, along with many other exemptions that we presume the legislators have the authority to change. And opinions, an attorney opinions, has the authority to change when Article 10, Section 6 of the Constitution and the Supreme Court says we don't have that option to take a vote and change. Kennecott Camps might be one. The Ball Court, the Dapperidge property, north of Branson might be one. There's many throughout this county that might not fall in the exemptions role, because I believe it's the full intent of the Supreme Court to say you go by the law on this and not somebody's vote or opinion on this. And I've got these copies to pass out. I think the schools have been harmed very much so over the last 10 or 12 years, we'll go back as far as 12 years, where exemptions have been handed out more to favoritism than the law. And I believe that it takes money away from the hardworking people that live in those districts. It takes it right directly out of their pocket, every exemption that's handed out. So I know there's new cases, court cases, but I've always been taught, and I may be wrong, but I've always been taught, many courts can make many decisions, but when the Supreme Court rules, that is the true answer. So this case has been laid in my office since these occurred 2000s when this case came before the Supreme Court. I've had this decision, and if you check back through the minutes, you'll see my arguments, not expressing this opinion, didn't think I needed to. The assessor was asked his opinion in some of these cases, and I fully was concerned how the BOEs have turned this loss of revenue right back to the taxpayers, right back to the individuals that need less taxation instead of more, but can blame it to the assessor's office. Right along with the 2009 BOE last day, last hour, last minute decision of reducing assessed evaluations. Hooray for the political aspects of that. I mean, it was a wonderful thing because the following year, I will say it, was election year. But every other individual out there that didn't receive that, the other 35,000 that did not receive such an action, and we can increase that number to 60,000 because personal property had to pay for it in adjustment of the levies, and everybody has to pay for actions that is not followed by the laws of the state of Missouri. And that's all I have to say.
Okay, any questions or comments, audience or commission, for James? A smile from Jim.
Pass.
No questions or comments? I've got a couple, I guess. Somewhere, James, you spoke to us for good over 10 minutes and said a number of things. You quoted me two or three times, and I'll have to listen to the tape to go back and see what you were talking about there. One comment you made, that is why I'm here. Could you repeat that? What is the purpose of you being here today? What are you hoping to get done? What's your goal?
What my goal is to change the standard and to change people's minds on saying the assessor. And I'll read it. The shortfall is due to the county's assessment process in the newspaper. And I'm believing that might ought to have had quotations around it because I don't believe the newspaper come up with that statement. That's another concern of mine because I've heard renditions of that statement made several other times. And this here, a quote of yours, that says, and it's in quotation, they weren't pleased because they weren't kept in the loop. That's a quote of yours that the paper has put in. It was not assessed correctly, Pennell said. It is a problem they're now in the middle of. Well, I would like to know how it was not assessed correctly. And for these statements to come out in the paper, I feel like the property was assessed exactly like the assessor is upheld by these laws, Supreme Court, and everybody else, maybe not the BOE. It appears that it's not in favor with the BOE, but I kind of put my office dealings above the BOE, although they have full power over me. They're the ones come in and turned over the assessor decisions of 2009, and it's on the meeting that away, I believe, this county commission, and I'm not trying to slide this through on anybody, they're the majority of the BOE, better start thinking instead of reacting to things that is not with the law. And to think that you can just... The last hour of a BOE that went on for six, even overturned decisions made by that BOE under evidence presented, overturned some of those because the last hour of the last day, let's get this turned over. And there was not one thing wrong with the assessment process of 2009, and it was proven in front of that BOE, but it was done anyway. That's my concern and why I'm here. There was not one shred of evidence to overturn what the assessor did.
You're talking about 2009 now, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Jim, did you want to jump in?
I just wanted a point of clarification that even though three commissioners do sit on the BOE of a five-member board or a five-member board.
That's true. I should have said that.
Two of the commissioners, I believe, didn't vote for that last hour change in 2009.
That is correct. Two of the commissioners sitting here did not.
I understand your position on regarding bringing that up, but I just wanted a point of clarification that that not all three commissioners voted for that change.
It was not a unanimous decision. Okay.
Regarding the airport, I think that if I'm misspeaking, I hope you'll correct me, but we didn't exempt the airport. We just said the valuation of the leasehold was too high, was a BOE decision. We brought it down from 15 to 2.5 million.
Right.
That was the valuation. I don't think we voted to exempt the property. We just said the value was. The value was too high.
Yeah, but I think if you listen to the tapes, there was many comments of taking it to zero then, that the county didn't want to have to go on, didn't want to have to fight on, and then it was discussion whether zero was exemption or not.
Okay.
And I think the assessor brought that up. If you set it at zero, are you not setting it exemption? So that's the message I'm trying to get out to the public, is they might want to pay attention on these BOE hearings instead of taking just statements from one individual in the paper and creating an article finishing up the shortfall is due to the assessment process. The BOE, absolutely, you've sat on it long enough to know, attacks the assessment process. Now, and I use the harsh words. I don't usually mince my words.
One question I have for you, James.
Okay.
This is probably my last one. Is in some first-class counties, it's up to the commission to set on the BOE, or we can appoint five members of the community. I know some first-class counties go that direction.
Right.
Do you have a preference one way or the other? I mean, we have to make a decision this fall if we want to reappoint the three commissioners and two citizens, or we can go straight to five citizens.
I have no quarrels with any of it. When they removed me from the BOE, I assumed they didn't want to hear from me on those issues, and
statutes
removed me, and so I have no quarrel either way. I think there's plenty of smart men that can run the BOE, and you guys included, and women. Yes. Yes.
They didn't remove you, though. They removed your ability to vote. They don't allow you to vote anymore.
Right, but
okay.
These same arguments I'm making here today was not in the same form, but pretty well the same attitude at the BOE, and they weren't listened to very much. The BOE kind of shut the ear toward the assessor. Now, the easy ones was great. You know, I think we've heard some. This is just a no-issue one, and shoot, I won those. I won the no issues, but the hard issues, I think I was pretty well shut off to the ear of the BOE.
I've got one when you get done.
Go ahead.
There's something wrong with the process. When hard-working citizens of the county or on the state level have to work to make their house payments, work to make their insurance payments. We had a tax sale yesterday as a fine example of what has to take place. But when hard-working citizens, a man and a woman, are out here trying to make a living, and our legislative body makes up rules that exempt $20 million, self-proclaimed $20 million businesses, such as Kennecott Camps. I might as well say it. Mr. Frank was here and said they made $20 million last year, and they became exempt when certain businesses or things can attach a religious name to their project and get it exempt, and the hard-working citizen has to make up the difference in the levy, there's something wrong with the system. I don't know it's for the people to make a decision to ask those people running for office and the ones that are going to be representing us in Missouri State and the federal level. How they're going to vote on these issues or whatever, and then it comes down to the BOE, which makes a decision, and then it goes on to the State Tax Commission, which can turn or overturn the decision made. There's something wrong with the process that the poor man out here trying to make an everyday living has to take on that responsibility. And the citizens of this county doesn't deserve that. And it's hard enough for, I don't even know how young people make it with the economic times like they are. But there's something wrong, and it needs to be corrected. And the only people that can correct it are the citizens through their votes.
Okay. James, I'm pretty confident you've read a lot more on this than I have. Can you answer the question, is the new airport that we've been talking about exempt? Is it exempt property?
I don't believe it is, according to the Supreme Court decision.
So you don't believe the Branson Airport is exempt property?
No.
Mr. Paulson, what's your opinion on that?
You asked. James, you believe that a property, the ownership interest in property that's owned by a governmental entity is exempt as to the ownership interest?
That's correct.
Okay. So it's the leasehold interest that is not exempt, correct?
That's correct.
And the St. Charles County case that you referred to versus the University of Missouri curators struck down a statute which exempted the leasehold interest in governmental-owned property.
That's correct.
Our BOE did not exempt the leasehold, the value of the leasehold interest. The property itself is exempt at the property, the ownership interest at the airport, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. It's the leasehold interest that's taxable, correct?
That's correct.
And our BOE did not say that the leasehold interest was exempt. They actually placed a value on it. They reduced that value. They just calculated the value of that lease by the case that talked about a bonus value to the lease, and they couldn't find the value that you put on it, and they reduced that value. And do you disagree with my assessment of the situation? Since
no.
You're the assessor?
No.
Okay.
I don't disagree whatsoever.
Okay.
The only problem I have, and I believe the Supreme Court will throw out, is the valuation of a leasehold interest, which has never been taken on, and which they know that you don't pay on the value of an increase of the increase of the lease value. And everybody knows the $180 million spent there, the assessor picked up the improvements to Branson Airport for $15 million.
The whole issue is the value of the leasehold interest and
That's
how
correct.
That value is calculated. That's the whole issue here.
Right, and all other leasehold interest in Taney County to this day is valued at the improvement value of that leasehold interest. I don't know one other that went under this new formula that was thrown out here in this BOE at this time.
But that came from a case, right? The Frontier Airlines case?
I believe it did. Don't know how far that case went, but I believe that's where that... In fact, we were never presented that formula. In fact, one of the BOE members just jumped all around that formula trying to figure out if he could do it this way, or this way. That's why the assessor don't look at it. I believe it's so controversial. We had a certified general appraiser that it took him 2 or 3 days to figure out what he believed that the interpretation of how that was to do. Now, that's my concerns with the newspaper article that says these assessors at fault. The assessors at fault, and Mr. Pennell, I was standing within 5 foot of you at the Hollister School Board meeting. You said the very same thing, and that the assessor did it unlawfully.
Okay. So let me go back. I ask you the question, James. Is the airport property exempt? And you said, no, you don't believe it is. But then from Bob's clarification, I understand that the airport property is exempt because it's county owned, but it is required to be assessed under leasehold interest. Is that correct?
Is that
what you were saying, Bob or James?
Yeah. There's no doubt Taney County is exempt.
Okay.
Well, see, so the confusing issue, there's no doubt Taney County is exempt on the property. Taney County leases to Branson Airport LLC. That's a leasehold interest. They then lease to Famous Dave's Barbecue, the car rental place, and all these other places that should not have even been discussed in the exemption. It was a battle and a half to come up with the $2.5 million and keep it on the books. Now, if any of you can't remember that, we can sure get the tapes out, because it was a total battle, because there was approximately 3 board members that felt we should go to zero because of, and this was just a deal made. The $2.5 million has no substantiation. It was just a number thrown on. Not even come up with by the certified general. But all other leasehold interest, billboards are under leasehold interest, Branson Landing is under leasehold interest, all other leasehold interest, the malls are under leasehold interest, they pay on their construction costs new, and there's never been an attorney step forward and question it. Not one. But all of a sudden, we start a whole new procedure with the airport. And I don't believe that's the assessor to say, hey, this article could be correct if the assessor would have sat back and not said a word and said, I'm just going to use this one on the Branson Airport. But I did not. I argued that it should be treated the same as all other properties in Taney County.
Okay. I'd like to go back.
Okay.
I asked you straight up, James, was the property exempt? And you said no. I went to Paulson, and I asked him, is the property exempt? And he went on to explain that, yes, the property, and correct me if I'm...
The ownership interest is exempt.
The ownership of the property is exempt.
Okay.
The property is exempt.
Yeah.
You said, according to the law, no, it wasn't. Bob went on to explain that the property is exempt because the county owns it, but because of the leasehold interest, it is not exempt from taxes.
That's correct.
And so the point is, how you assess the property, I don't believe you assess the property as leasehold interest property. You assessed it, I think you mentioned it a minute ago, by the value of it. Correct?
I think if you look on the assessment record, it says improvement value only, no land value. That means the assessor is in totally agreement that the land has no value. It belongs to the county. This is not rocket science. You just got to follow the assessment process and see. That's where I think some of the confusion lies. Branson Airport, LLC, the TDD, there was a huge argument, are they the same? And some said yes, some said no. That's not the assessor's problem. That's a logistics problem. And I'm not involved. When I see a piece of property as a private airport, I presumed the same as Hollister School, that they would get whatever the law allowed them to get for assessment. And since all 99.9% of the other leasehold options in Taney County was assessed a particular way, I would assume the assessor would not do anything differently. that he would assess it the same way he did everything else. So to come in and say, and this, that's what I get real confused on, this Luke stuff and unlawful stuff, I don't believe that's correct, and I think the paper is absolutely wrong on bestowing that message, and it was proved to me that that message was out there at the Hollister School Board meeting.
I think it's safe to say, James, you believe that you assessed the property, the $15 million, correctly.
That's correct.
Why is it you're so confident that the value is going to, the $2.5 million that the DOE set it at, is going to be done away with? You mentioned that earlier in your comments.
I didn't say that. I said I think now with this decision and everything brought forward, that we, that $2.5 million is solid as a rock.
Hang on here. Let me look at my notes I made.
Go
I
back
think,
to get.
I think you said
and analyze it. Maybe I said something
here,
wrong.
Here's what you said, pretty close. It says, "I don't think the school has a prayer of getting that."
The 15.
I thought you were referring to the $2.5 million that the BOE set on it.
Don't know.
That's what you told them at the meeting, James. You told the school board then. You
yes,
told
I did.
Them.
I sure said it at the meeting.
So my
now,
question,
if you want me to say that, yes,
my
I
question
did.
For you, James, is you're very confident that that assessment is not going to hold up.
That
so
was
why,
at the school board meeting.
Yes, sir. So since you believe that your assessment is not going to hold up, why do you believe so strongly that your assessment is, the way you did it, is correct?
If you can ask an intelligent question after this session this morning, I'll answer it. I told you, and I've got the Supreme Court decision here that I referred back to and said the $2.5 million was more than likely solid now. So if you can figure out some kind of questions to ask me that's reasonable, I will try to answer them.
Let me try again. On August 3rd, you and I visited with the Hollister School Board. You warned the school board,
yes,
that the $2.5 million that the BOE lowered it to,
right,
would not hold, and that they would lose that assessment as well.
According to the information provided the BOE. That's when you, sir, argued, I don't want to take this onto the state. I want to take it to zero now. I believe if you check back in the minutes, you'll find those statements, that you did not want to pursue this onto the state level, that if it was supposed to be zero, put it at zero now and and save everybody the aggravation. I believe you said that on many cases.
The point I'm trying to make that you don't want to talk about, James, is you told the school board that the assessment, the rest of the assessment, the $2.5 million that the
yes,
BOE lowered it, was not going to hold up, and you warned them.
That was my beliefs.
Right. And so my question to you is,
yes,
since you believe that that assessment won't hold up in court or BOE or whoever you were talking about, why is it that you think you assessed right when that's the way you feel about that?
You take about 15 or 20 minutes, and you go read this Supreme Court decision that I presented here today, and then you come to me with a question that makes sense. There's why I changed my mind. The Supreme Court said it. Not me. Not you. The Supreme Court says it. And in reading that opinion, I believe they have. You know what? They may take it tomorrow and lose it.
So what I hear you saying there is the law says the way you assessed it is not going to hold up.
No,
is that right?
That
I mean, you're showing me a Supreme Court decision is why that it's not going to hold up and they're not going to get any of the assessment.
I don't know what you're saying.
I'm saying you talked about this issue with our counsel, I believe, before you made the assessment, and you knew that there was a question about the way you were going to assess it.
You're absolutely wrong.
And you went right ahead and assessed it.
I'm not part of your loop, sir. I did not talk to anyone about the assessment of this property.
I'm not a part of the loop either, James.
Well, then why'd you say it?
I don't visit with Bob except in meetings. Very seldom otherwise. Not like many others. The loop you're talking about comes from comments that the Hollister School Board made to us, and they were complaining because they wanted to know what was happening before it all got dumped on them. And they weren't made aware. And that was their complaint. And that's where you've used this word loop many times. That's where that comes about, is the Hollister School Board was upset because they didn't know what was happening until it happened to them. And they would have appreciated that you or someone, later on you said it was the clerk's responsibility, would have let them know what this issue was before they got this notice that they were going to get all this money and then find out sometime later, no, we're not going to have this money to operate our school on.
That is all handled by law. They were contacted, I'm assuming, according to law. And I told the Hollister School Board, the legislators dropped the ball. They're the ones set the deadlines on contacting. They're the ones that put the pressure on the schools to establish their budgets right along with BOE decisions. What do you think, you know, what's really confusing me on this whole issue, last year you and the BOE made a decision the last day of the BOE that affected everybody's budgets. Everybody was out of this so-called loop at that point. Only contact they'd been made is by the assessor doing his statutory duty on the deadlines that he's supposed to do. Has nothing to do with the assessor that you gentlemen did that decision the last day, the last hour, the last minute. And if you don't think that didn't cause confusion all that throughout this county, I'm thinking the loop got very broken at that point.
Well, I'd have to disagree, James. The issue that keeps coming up, the 2009 BOE decision, we had people, former commissioner was one of the first ones that came as soon as those values came out that you put on in 2009, when they got the notice of their values. They came because there was these huge increases in property in 2009, mainly condominiums and mainly the lot value in subdivisions. Those were the two areas that took huge increases in 2009. In 2007, James, when you did your reassessment, you told this county commission that your values were good and they were right. The state tax commission had been on your behind, so to speak, giving you a bad time. And I personally asked you the question in one of these meetings, when you did your 2007, are your values right? And you said, yes, sir, they are. Then in 2009, in 2 years, when everybody's values were right, you didn't touch 25,000 properties at all, but 15,000 properties, you raised extreme amounts. And that doesn't make sense to me, that values could be right in 2007, and then in 2009, 15 of the 40,000 properties, you raised extreme amounts. And there was a lot of attention about it. Again, county commissioner came and spoke right at the podium here. What's going on? And we heard it all over the place. And we talked about it over and over and over again. I made a motion three times in that 2009 BOE to set our values at the 2009 values, or I guess it'd be the 2007 values, to make no change. And after that long BOE last year, the BOE decided first, Mr. Stroth has made a comment a little bit earlier, the first meeting, he voted in favor of us doing the 50% lowering. In the last meeting, he changed his mind and didn't vote with it. But we did have three votes. One county commissioner and two citizens voted that we lower them by 50%. So that wasn't exactly on our agenda item here of questionable exemptions, but you all brought it up and wanted to talk about it. I think it's good we talk about it. I think the BOE has a vital part, and last year shows you that it's a good thing we do have a BOE, that we do question the assessor's assessment.
I've never
because
said
last
that.
Year didn't make a bit it of wasn't. Sense to many people in the county how those values could be right in 2007. And then 2009, well, everything's gone wrong on 15,000 of the 40,000 properties. The other 25,000 had no increase at all.
I'll just stand by what I've always said and what the BOE people even told you, and you shut your ear to it. He's right on my value. He's right on my value, but I think it's just too much. How many times was that said during the BOE process? And it doesn't matter. This BOE has nothing to do with it. My reference back to the BOE is Hollister Schools was upset because they were contacted the last day of the BOE. Last year they were contacted the last day of the BOE. The legislators are wrong in their deadlines, and it was the same problem, the very same problem. They had to roll back their levies. They had to do all these adjustments from the last day. Nothing to do with the assessment process, as the paper has said. The assessor did his part. He turned in his books, did everything he was supposed to. But to point to the assessor that something's wrong in the public eye, the assessor did it. The assessor never built the airport. The assessor argued against the airport. The assessor argued against building the road to the airport using county funds. Go back, check the records. I argued against the airport in every way. I put the assessment of the airport on, as I did every other property in Taney County. But all of a sudden, it's the assessor's problem. And James, I don't understand where that talk come from.
You say many things. In this last statement, you said that the commission argued against the airport in every way. That's what you just told us. That's not true, James. You throw stuff out like that consistently. You just throw stuff out to see what...
The assessor argued against the airport. The commissioners didn't argue against the airport. They was all for it. Okay. I fought them.
Well, I misunderstood. I thought you were speaking that the commission... So you argued... Where did you argue? You were talking about arguing against the road. I never heard you argue against the road.
It doesn't matter. It's not on the agenda. You can go back through the minutes and find out what I said. But I was here, and I argued against it. And you may not find it in the minutes. Of course, we know the minutes is supposed to just equivalate to motions and votes. So everything said in the minutes is not wrote down. And that's fine. That's the way state law requires it.
Before you leave, you made a comment about the deal made, and there's maybe other questions. As we, this year's BOE, talked about this airport assessment,
yeah.
Danny made the first motion, which didn't get a second, but his first motion was to lower the $15 million in half.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you just made a point a few minutes ago about there were deals being made. It started there, and then the member of the BOE, who is an appraiser, a licensed appraiser, he came up with a calculated reason for the $2.5 million. You know, you were sitting here. The half price deal, I don't know where Danny got that half price deal.
Ask me when you get through here.
Okay. I'll ask you that.
Well, my motion for the half was based upon the consistency of the bond payment that was due. Everybody seemed to be, I knew that I wasn't going to win, but at least I thought it would be a fair assessment to, there was all kinds of discussion from the appraiser to exempt. You and the appraiser both wanted to reopen, revisit the case because he had made an argument for total exemption. And that's when Mr. Strophus and I voted not to reopen the case because we thought that it should probably go on to the State Tax Commission. But my reasoning was at least more fair than saying total exemption for something that I didn't feel like was exempt. That's where I came up with the
I would discuss the BOE decisions and the talk in the BOE decisions. First of all it was, and everybody talks it. I've had a BOE member come to me, and he'd put his hand on his heart. He said, I know in my heart those private businesses should be paying taxes. And he said, I know more than likely that case is going to be a loser. And then I handed him this Supreme Court case. I don't know whether they'll have any. Maybe the Supreme Court has no say in the state of Missouri. Write that down, Chuck, and question me in about a week on what I said right there.
James
Strahan said the Supreme Court had no decision in the state of Missouri.
James, you came last week in public comment, made us a nice long comment about this issue. No response made.
Mm-hmm.
You put it on the agenda for this week, and we've had a good half-hour discussion about it.
Mm-hmm.
Can we expect you to have it on the agenda next week? We're going to talk about it some more.
If the news media comes out and you've made quotes that it's the assessor's fault, you're going to have me here again. I may bring breakfast next time.
Well, let me go ahead and make them, James.
Okay.
I do not believe what I've learned from counsel and listening to folks that you assess the property right. You did not assess it as leasehold interest property. You assessed it. You said it today on the value of the property. And so I do not believe, say it right here, that you assess the property correctly.
Well, I'll say this, and it's going to get me in trouble, counsel. It's all because you're ignorant to the law, sir.
Okay. Any other questions or comments for James?
Not for James. I got a point of clarification here.
Okay.
If I can. There was somewhere in this discussion I got brought up again about I voted for something in 2009 and then I changed my mind. Let me make sure that everyone hears that I didn't change my mind. Not the last hour of the BOE in 2009. The motion I voted for was a two-part motion, okay, one to raise and one to decrease. The next meeting, the BOE had a motion to reconsider which means they can reopen that discussion, which they did, and reverse the decision that I had voted for. Because the motion changed the terms, I voted against the second motion. Not that I changed my mind, it's because the first motion was not the same as the second motion. So I just want to make sure that the facts are out there.
Jim, you got that. I agree. Pretty close to what happened. The first motion, I don't know if you made it, but was to raise properties that did not get the 6% increase because you felt strongly there was a lot of properties that did not get that increase in 2007. Correct?
Well, I had to go through all my notes. There was enough discrepancies that I felt like there were some properties that got overlooked.
So you voted, that first vote was to raise.
Raise and lower.
To raise properties that did not get the 6% increase and to lower the other properties that did get increases by 50%.
That probably right. I just remember it was a two-part motion.
Okay. Well, that's the way I remember it and that's what happened.
Okay.
So we came back and we can reconsider just as you said.
Mm-hmm.
And you requested that we separate the raising part and the lowering part. And so that's what we did. So we only addressed.
Now, that's one thing I'd have to go to the audio tapes on. I don't know if I made that recommendation to separate.
Well, why would you be in favor of raising them the first day?
Because.
And then on the second day.
I'm sorry,
that's not correct. Why were you in favor of lowering them 50% the first time? But the second time, you were not in favor of lowering them 50%.
Because the exact vote that happened. If we didn't tie it together, the BOE members would raise some, or would cut some, and then wouldn't vote to raise them. So if it wasn't part of that single motion, that's why I knew it was going to happen.
You go back and listen to the
tape.
I will. I think you will find that it was your request that we separate.
I'm amazed that you've got such a great photographic memory of a year plus ago of a conversation. But I will go listen to them, and if I'm wrong, I'll come back and say I'm wrong.
Great. Appreciate it.
It's amazing.
I've got a comment to make.
Okay.
You brought up a former commissioner coming before this county commission to argue points of BOE. Now, Mr. Swan came before a county commission after serving on the BOE for 4 years and knowing that that was the right place to come to argue values. And why in the world, unless he had been coaxed or grandstanding or whatever, would a former commissioner who knows the process come before this BO or come before this county commission to argue about taxes when he sat on the BOE and he knows exactly what the proper procedure is, unless he was coaxed or made a decision upon grandstanding in front of the county commission? That is not proper procedure.
So you're accusing Mr.
I don't
Swan
care what you how you want to put it
of being coaxed, or he was here to grandstand. A, I didn't mention his name, and B,
well, I don't care if you mentioned his name or not. It's in the records that he came before us. And also, if you'll remember, Mr. Pennell, I asked probably 80% of the people when they came in who asked them to come with their process to the BOE. And your name was the name they brought up. I said, who asked you to come to this BOE with your problem? Because some of them didn't even have a problem. Some of them's taxes were too low. And they said you were the man that asked them to come.
So where should the people come if they're not sent
to the BOE, sir?
That's what you just said, that I said.
You asked them to come to the county commission. Mr. Swan came to the county commission.
No, you just said, Danny, that I had told people to come to the BOE.
Yes, you did.
That's where they should come, Danny.
That's exactly right. And they, whenever they did, and they found out their taxes were too low, then we made the statement to them during that process that if it is a Board of Equalization and that you should raise taxes if they're too low and you should lower them if they're too high.
Now you just said we found that their taxes were too low.
I said if their taxes were too low, and there was some that their taxes were too low.
I can remember one that brought in an assessment and we raised their taxes. I didn't vote for it. But.
Well, I'm just trying to straighten out a mess that has taken place here, and it's absolutely a shame that it's got to this point.
Who brought the issue up today, Danny? 2 weeks in a row. Who brought the issue up?
I'm telling you, sir, I sat here and listened to you bring up the same issue 4 and 5 times after a vote has been taken by the county commission, which we are supposed to honor, and you bring that same issue up and up and up and up again. So James brings this forward because there's needs to be a correction in the paper. He brought up the constitutional law last week, and he turns around and it's not put in the paper right, so he brings it up again. I'm not defending everybody bringing up everything, but when it's not correct, it needs to be corrected.
So it depends whether it's correct in your eyes or not? Is that what you're saying?
It's a correction in the county commission. You have totally forgot that this works as a body, a voting body, sir, that them as the commission votes, that so be it, and the other person is supposed to at least try to support the decision of the commission. But you have seemed to forgot that.
Would I be terribly out of order?
Yes, ma'am.
Can I call for a change of subject and that we move on to something constructive?
I think this has been very constructive. I hate that it's got
to this point. Just a suggestion.
Okay. Any other comments? Do we want to move on? No comments. I would assume we're ready to move on. Do we want to take a break, let things cool off a little bit, or go on to our next issue?
Well, and let me just point out, the executive session minutes has been posted twice today. Mm-hmm. This was an accident. It really should be on the next session, which is a little later, because I really want to get through the Kiss Me Mills Park Ordinance. I know Danny had some stuff on that, and then after that, possibly. But since we have it posted twice, I was just going to suggest that we strike it off of here since we've got it posted for another hour from now.
I'll second that. Are you making that into a motion?
I move that we just remove
the agenda.
Since it's posted twice.
Okay.
Okay.
Got a motion and a second. Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Do we want to have a recess was the first question.
I don't need one, but if you, whoever, there might be somebody in here that does. Are we on the
Kazee? All right, let's go on to Kazee Mills Park Ordinance. Who would like to lead us on that?
I have received several phone calls about people that are camped in the park at Kazee Mills, and people are concerned that are there. I know this took place a couple of years ago that we had people that had moved into the park area. And these people also have some large dogs and things that are down there, and other people are afraid to let their kids run and play in the park. And we had a situation like this, like I said, two or three years ago, and there was something drawn up that removed them from the park for a period of 7 days, and then they could move back in for 7 days, and then vice versa. But I thought that Mr. Paulson said that he couldn't find the ordinance that we wrote.
I searched the minutes. I looked for an ordinance. I didn't see an ordinance. I don't know what was done a while ago.
Are you aware of that, Jeff? We talked about that.
Bob was finishing something when you...
Okay. And recently you had requested that I do something. So when I was requested of that, I looked for the old stuff, and then I came back to y'all and I said that I couldn't find it. And there was someone that was going to check other than me with the Corps of Engineers to see what our long-term plan was before I drew up the ordinance. And before they got in touch with them, you got an email from, I believe, John Heiser from the
yes.
Corps of Engineers.
Right.
The commission did, yes.
Okay.
Did we not discuss and I thought agreed to put up a sign for 7 days, did we not?
Yeah, that's okay. Where I'm going.
Was that a long time ago?
That's a long time ago, but we...
I think that was just in the last month or two.
I don't know if we ever went to the vote. I don't think
it was a vote that was taken, but it
okay.
was something
anyway,
that needs to be done.
Where would you like us to go?
That's what I would like to do. I would like to post a sign, but I think we have to have some kind of a written ordinance to do so. Am I right, Bob?
You need a written ordinance, given that it's not...
county property.
It is not county property, so you can't control county property unless you have some interest in it, and you need to do something with the Corps in order to do this.
But we do have a lease with the Corps.
I haven't been able to find a lease on Kazee Mills, but it may exist.
Okay. Now, here's our problem, is we need to get this taken care of because we have the weekend coming up, and we have these people that are still staying there. And then, like I said, I had four phone calls this week on this very issue. And I did want to bring this up, we did receive a letter from Mr. Heiser, and all of us got it. And it states in here that KDOC Park, which they have never let us have control of, and Kazee Mills Park, which we have kept mowed and looking nice and have... Actually, we've got some citizen volunteers, which they said is not acceptable. You can see how thick this is with all the rules and regulations that they have. But they're wanting to do away with our parks. And as one lady told me this morning, where are we going to be able to go with our families over here and enjoy creek access, lake access, all those things? And I'll fight tooth and nail to keep our Kazee Mills Park and any other water access that we need open.
Those are federal lands currently.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get control of them, while they are our parks, they're our parks as citizens of the federal government, we need to have some relationship with the federal government in the form of a lease on those properties so that we can put rules on them and control them.
Right. To just show the public how complicated this is the park at Kazee Mills, which is used heavily, we had one at KDOC, and we were close to getting that park. And one gentleman said that there was a tree in the middle of the road there, at the edge of the road, that was obstruction. It was dead. It wasn't 4 or 5 feet tall. And he told me that they would have to come up and mark that tree before we removed it if we had... going to take over use of the park. And I said, if you're going to get so strict, on the situation that we can't mow or we can't take down a dead tree at the entrance of the park, then I'm not, don't think that, I think our conversation is over with. I need to talk to somebody else. So Joanne Emerson even visited with me, and I'm not sure that she didn't visit the location even of the K-Dog Park when she was here on a visit a few years back. So this is very concerning to me that there will be closing. They're going to tear down the bathroom facilities, do away with the dump station, which all those things in our park system, we've found that there's probably $50,000 worth of assets in that park, but they're just going to destroy it and close the park. So I think it's time for the citizens of the county to either rally behind keeping such a facility open for public use. We don't have any control. As Bob said, it's all federal. But if they will allow at least us, I think it's time for the citizens to step forward and show their interest. And I hate to see one more location go by the wayside because people get so much pleasure out of not having to go and spend dollars at some place to have family enjoyment.
Go ahead. I was going to say, part of that email that Mr. Heiser sent to the commission also attached a lease. And if you, I mean, I know you read through it, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
Basically says that he supplied a lease that he had, that they had in place, intergovernmental agreement with other entities such as the city of, where is it at? The city of Bull Shoals. They're willing to give us a 25-year lease on that, on those two locations. And we can use that template if we choose to. So I think the big discussion is we just need to have a work session and figure out what it's going to cost to bring the facilities up to standards. And then it looks like they're, if we're willing to do it in a short amount of time, they're willing to lease it to us. If not, they're saying they're going to demo it all.
Okay. And Jim,
that's how I kind of interpreted his email. And I was the one, and Bob was being delicate.
I
was the
seen
one.
It.
Yeah. I was the one that was assigned to talk to Mr. Heiser, and the day I got his phone numbers, the day he sent this email out. So basically they're saying they don't want it anymore. If it's not improved, they're not going to improve it. We either have to improve it or, and take a 25-year lease on it, and or they're going to demo the area.
Okay, and let me just clarify one thing on that. They have environmental studies that they want us to do. They have other restrictions that they want us to do before they will lease it to the county. Those are things that cost the county money when, if there's any environmental troubles, it's what they've caused. I mean, at the locations, everybody that's been to K-Dog Park and seen what a mess they've allowed.
I think they're looking to establish a baseline. Now, someone is going to have to, whether it's them or us, establish that there are no environmental problems there, so that after they lease it to us and they get it back and they do their study, if there's an environmental problem, then it was our fault as the entity leasing it from them, so that we'd be responsible for any cleanup.
You mean 25 years from now?
25 years, or right. If we break the lease 3 years from now.
Yeah. We received the email, just FYI, yesterday, Thursday late. I just forwarded it to you, Bob, so you have a reference now to know what we're talking about.
And, okay, thank you.
I think, Nikki, what we need to do is have a work session and get some assessments of what we have to do in order for us, to, if we want to keep the parks open.
Is that something you want this week?
Sure.
Yeah, we got to.
Bob?
You mentioned a 25-year lease. How much a year is this going to cost us?
Well, just the maintaining of the park. They're just wanting someone to take ownership.
I think it's one of those situations, a dollar a year or something like that.
Well, I'll pay that.
Yeah. I think what they're trying to say is we're going to take ownership of maintaining it and keeping it to environmental standards and safety. I think one of the terms in it, we have to have liability insurance on the parcel also. So,
Danny, I think I heard you say something about for the public to get involved. After what has been said since you said that,
mm-hmm.
do we need to ask the public to get involved? It sounds like we've got something we can work with here.
Well, here's what I'm requesting.
What did you mean?
What did I mean by that is if I had letters, I mean, I've had phone calls, but if I had, like, letters, and it wouldn't have to be, but just a few sentences from the public to when John Heiser and Mr. Case and Fancher comes up, and the only time we can seem to get anything done is when we have three of them that all agree. If I had, like, a small letter that's got a citizen's name on it, I'll give you an example. Darlene Cole has worked with them on the Kazee Mills Park for years. She has such a relationship with them that if we send a letter out, we always send her a copy for her to send to them. And she gets better response than the county commission does because she has furnished and worked. And we have a group of citizens that will work these parks, you know. But they say that's not good enough in this email, that we need something more substantial. But if I just had a letter addressed to the county commission that had five or six, I'm in support of keeping these parks open and so on and so forth, where we could just say, look, here's what we've got. Signatures, petitions, they don't mean anything. Yeah, I mean, they think you can get somebody to sign a petition for any reason. But if they had a letter or just a comment, if you took time, I think it would help. I'm just requesting that on my own.
That's good. Not any problem with that. There's two parks we're talking about, Highway K and Kazee Mills. Kazee Mills, the county has been mowing, picking up trash for years.
Yeah.
Highway K, we had conversation years back about trying to keep it open. They went ahead and closed it. And my memory is that the park board was involved in that. And I think the Kirbyville area looked at keeping that park open, and their final decision was they couldn't do it, didn't feel like it was value or whatever reason. And so that's why nothing's happened there. So if I could add to your request, if they would specify Kazee Mills and Kay, how they feel about both of them separately.
Mm-hmm. Because
I think they're pretty different in the value to the, because Highway K has not been used for years. It was a place for drugs being passed and all that kind of thing. It's a bad situation is why they closed it. So anyway, for whatever that's worth to you.
Yeah.
What else? So we're going to probably hear in a bit when we work with Nikki, come up with a date later on, hopefully this week, to have a work session and come up with a plan.
Yeah.
This document they sent us with the 25 years is one they had with
Mountain Home,
City of Bullshoals.
Bullshoals Lake, yeah. Marion County, Arkansas. So we don't have, hopefully we could do something if we needed to in different ways. But
it could be, that's probably a very good template.
It's a good template.
It's what they're looking for, we know.
Okay.
And I might add that they've been great to work with recently. Right here in the last little bit about helping us with lake access deals. We are in a little bit of a discussion with them, but I think that concerns Arkansas Fish and Game on the 5-foot water level that they're wanting to raise, and we're having a little heated conversation over that, but I think that we're going to work through that probably before it's all over with. But Tracy and John Heiser and Mark Case have been extremely good to work with. Jim had got to meet them, I guess, for the first time when we went to Pro Tem, mm-hmm. and we visited five locations,
yep.
didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
And they were real good to work with. So,
Danny, you mentioned, started in this conversation, some about the problems at Kazee Mills and the time and mm-hmm. this and that. It might be well if the sheriff's available or his deputy to meet with us at a same time work on that lease.
Yeah, I think so.
Because we need to have our eyes wide open that there are problems there, that if we take on this responsibility, we need to be aware of what's available to address those problems.
Yeah.
Okay. Other Kazee Mills Park ordinance. Anything else before we recess? Hearing nothing, we'll recess for 5 minutes and then come back into our weekly.